Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 103, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries, as in the Coke brothers, and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, October 10th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Informer. We're spilling all our hot takes on the air. The host is Boom Boom Jack, courtesy of DJ Shazzy Chef. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Kiss me on the Daily Zeitgeist, E.D., out on a Tuscan tour, spliff in your open hand, strike up the match, and pop up the gems that we ride out on. Bum, bum. So kiss me, hey, thank you to
Tyler Olton for that one. Sixpence on the Richer. If you remember, there's a cool YouTube video called Keys Me, K-E-Y-S, and it's from a Filipino talent show where a woman is trying to sing Kiss Me, but the lyrics are a little bit different.
Wait, she says, Keys Me?
Keys Me, rather than Kiss Me. It's like very phonetically heard through like someone who speaks Tagalog. And then at the last part, she's like, make the fireflies dance, Sylvie Moose is Barkley. Rather than Silver Moon Sparkling, it's Sylvie Moose Barkley.
It's way better.
It's way better. It's actually amazing, and she does it well. Anyway, Keys Me, YouTube. Just everything's a YouTube video.
What are the actual lyrics to that?
I don't know. Who cares?
For my research,
the Milky Twilight,
yeah. Yeah. For my research for my AKA, I was looking at what the lyrics are actually to Informer, and I was way off. I mean, I guess I always,
in my mind, Informer. That sounds like I'm on a whale.
I
like
boom, 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 down.
And no one knows the parts between Informer and whale. Licky boom, boom, down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try to sing it with the lyrics then. What are the actual... Try to sing
in farmer, you know, say daddy mean he snow me, I go playing. I lick you boom boom down. Detective mayor say daddy me snow me step someone down.
All
the
right,
lane.
Justin Trudeau.
I lick you boom boom down.
This is going to be my new ringer.
Like, that doesn't even...
What is that?
I mean, I don't
know. Hey, look,
know.
Anybody who's down, who understands patois, you know, let me know.
Right.
What's he really saying? Was Snow Jamaican?
No, he was Canadian, and his last name, O'Brien.
Snow Brian?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he your brother?
Yes.
Kiss
this
me.
Is my way of coming out with that information.
Kiss me is, oh, kiss me beneath the milky twilight. Lead me out on the moonlit floor. Lift your open hand. Strike up the band and make the fireflies dance. Silver moon sparkling. So kiss me.
So kiss
not Sylvie Moose Barkley.
Again, like those are better.
Better, though.
Shout out to Charles Barkley.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented comedian and podcast host, Sophia Alexandra.
Brah, 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 brah,
ooh. Brah.
Cancel
She's
me.
So fire above me.
Sophia, how you been?
I've been great. I'm
it's
so excited to
have
be
you back here
Traveling
on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thanks so much.
You've been coming in for another show. That
that's right.
Will,
that's in Cooking in the Lab. Y'all
cooking in the Lab.
Cooking in the Lab for so long.
It's a stew at this point.
We're just going to drop 60 episodes when it comes out.
A 420 Day Fiancé. Worry not, listeners. This show is real.
It is fully cooked.
This is the problem, though. At this level, you know, you're dealing with high-level contracts, palace intrigue, and things like that.
Yeah.
And when this shit comes
there's
out...
There's been a couple stabbings.
Yeah, there's been a few. Not gonna lie.
I mean,
yeah.
All
Sophia
I have to
play.
Say is I'm a tough negotiator.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ukrainians apparently aren't
don't
easy to
deal
around.
With. Around.
Yeah. Don't fuck
don't
with
fuck
me.
Around.
If you want me to do a chill podcast about weed and 90 Day Fiancé,
I'm not the one.
Don't play. I don't play that.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about. How people are working with/against Border Patrol agents to try and fuck that agency up a little bit. We're going to check in with just the latest, kind of a more taking a step back, 100,000 foot view of the whistleblower story. We're going to look at inequality in America. And then we're going to have a long overdue update of Benghazi. Because we got some new texture on the Matt Lauer allegations and James Franco allegations. So we're going to look at some of that. All of that and some footy drama.
Footy
as
drama.
Miles wrote.
We love it, mate.
But first, Sophia, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
So I just went to Mexico City with my podcasting partner, Courtney Kosak, for our podcast, Private Parts Unknown. And... it struck me that I might want to get a tattoo for every city we go to.
Whoa.
For the pod.
Do you have tattoos?
Tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have four tattoos.
Four tattoos.
They're real small. They're more like tatties.
Tatties.
They're little guys. Okay. Little tatties. But yeah, so I was thinking what would be a good way. I don't want to do like flags or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, what if I do a flower? And then I'm like, but then I would get it for the country because the city doesn't have a flower. So then I Googled national flower of Mexico. It's the dahlia.
What's the dahlia?
Dope.
Dahlia, they have like a lot of petals.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
They're really pretty.
They almost look like, what's that? Like almost like sunflowers, but a different color than a sunflower?
They're pink.
Oh, shit. Yeah. This thing. Yeah. That's trippy. Looks like an IKEA lamp.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was like, should I get a dahlia tattoo? That was my last search.
I didn't know anything about the dahlia other than the
murder.
Black Dahlia murder.
Yeah.
And then I finally saw one at a farmer's market, and they're really pretty.
Bought some for our house. Got a lot of compliments on them. They're a pretty flower.
Jack, that is the cutest story I've ever heard.
They're real pretty.
I bought them. Apparently, there's they really brightened up my home. A lot of our guests really felt welcomed. The aroma, I would say, was very pleasing. Yeah. And it complimented my throw pillows.
Yeah.
Jack, you're the cutest thing. You have no
idea. Goes along with the color story and sort of having here.
What is something you think is overrated?
CBD oil.
What? Okay. I was just told to use it to...
Everybody says to use it for everything. Literally, I want to believe in it because I love the idea of it. But every time I give it to anyone or try it for anything, that shit does not work. Like, my mom was having pains and I bought her this fucking fancy CBD emu cream. They're like, it's made with emu fat. It penetrates deeper. They're like, here's... It's $1 million. I was like, all right, it's for my mom.
Right.
I'm like, did it do anything? She's like, no. And anytime I'm like, oh, people are like, yeah, it helps with anxiety. I'm like, you should try it. And they're like, no. It's like, I don't really know what the fuck it does do.
Well, I think the most effective case for it was with anti-seizure applications. Because I remember that was like one of the big things where there were children who
I saw that video too.
Well, not even the video. I mean, it was like a whole thing.
No, but there's like a bunch of videos that have gone viral showing of people putting CBD oil on like the feet, the bottoms of the feet of people who are having seizures and it helping and stuff.
Oh, on the bottoms of their feet?
Interesting. Yeah, and I've heard that it helps in like Parkinson's, and my husband's dad has Parkinson's. Mm. So I've been giving him all the CBD and that shit does not do anything for him.
But your point being that CBD oil, like people are constantly like, oh, have you tried CBD oil? Just in conversation, and that's rarely a illness or like a malady that people are bringing up conversationally. Like, man, I keep having these seizures. Right. I don't know what to do. Like, to Advil? Well,
I'm not saying that it doesn't work for anything. I'm just saying I don't think it works for most of the things we're trying to use it for.
Exactly.
Casually being like, oh, yeah, try it for any of the 10 things
migraines?
That are wrong with you.
Yeah, well, people love it, you know, because there's so many CBD drinks everywhere, too. And I'm like, is this really, how many of these do I have to drink to, like, catch the spirit?
Yeah. Is that what you take medicine for? To catch the spirit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows from my praise band I was in called Catch the Spirit.
Yeah.
They were great.
You love to wear white linen when you perform. It's like so beautiful.
Well, it's about purity and it's about talking about coming to Jesus as in, you know, as
you don't
in the
have
purest
to tell
form
me.
As possible.
I've only ever seen you as a God's virgin.
Has that white linen shirt ever been buttoned up?
No, it didn't
seem like it. Yeah.
Well, you know, it depends on how I'm feeling. But.
Right.
That's how he gets new additions to the church.
Yeah.
That's how I bring him in.
Yeah.
But only those who are pure of heart.
And he will find a gust or a fan or something just so that
just
that thing's blowing behind
open.
Him a little bit.
If they just want to say, who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? His name is J-E-S-U-S.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
That sounds...
Let him know. Like Catch the spirit. That's the kind of jams we were rocking out to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was definitely a jam. What is something you think is underrated, Sophia?
Well, what I think is underrated is Jungle Pussy.
Jungle Pussy.
Underrated?
The musical artist, yeah.
Okay.
And to make a point, I'm just going to say two of my favorite lines.
Okay, I love it.
One is, like, Rihanna forehead, bitch, you gotta think big. Hilarious. And Papa Plan B, stop the family, your father not cute. That is the funniest shit of all time.
That's really good. Those are
she got a new album yet out?
No, but I stay rocking to the old shit.
Where's she's kind of young, or well, younger than us.
Yeah.
Everyone's younger than us these days.
Grumpity grump.
Am I right, brother? Am I right?
She also has that great song, Trader Joe, where she's like, we don't fuck. He just picked me up from Trader Joe. Carry all my groceries and lick on all my toes. Like, yes, girl. Get it. You freak.
Also, I hope putting some of that speculoos cookie butter on your feet.
Ooh,
Thank you, Danny. He's into feet stuff.
We all have that relationship in our life, don't we?
What? Of
the,
someone
the Trader Joe?
To suck on your toes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Our grocery ride That's how I get to the grocery store. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
So here's something that I thought before going to Mexico City. I thought that because Mexico is such a Catholic country, that Mexico City probably wouldn't be a good place for to be queer. And I was totally wrong. I met like a bunch of trans people, a bunch of gender queer people, and they feel super safe living there. And one of the really interesting ways that they put it, they're like, you know, family is really big here. So if you say no to someone in your family because of like their orientation, then like it's really hard to cut off like a part of yourself like that. So sometimes people still do it. It's not that there aren't any religious people.
Sure.
But I think because family is so important, people love each other so much. It's
and
actually
general progress has like created a storm of acceptance.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. And I mean, progressive as fuck. And the artists are doing really interesting stuff. I talked to like a performance artist who like does stuff where she puts like lipstick on her body and then has people rub it off. And she's like, it's, you know, it hurts my body and like it leaves a mark. And like, that's what patriarchy is. And she's fucking dope. And so all these, Mexico City's just insanely interesting.
So many artists are like flocking down there too.
Yeah.
So I definitely know it's got a scene. Mm-hmm. Is there any Mexico City Zeitgang? Let us know. Yeah. If there are,
holler.
Maybe you can show
me. Maybe there's a lot. Maybe we should do a show down there.
You should.
Mexico de Efe, as I learned to call it in Espanol, seventh grade.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Sir.
How long were you guys down there?
Pretty short, like a long weekend. Like 4 days. Friday to Monday night.
Oh, shit. A little quick weekend warrior.
Yeah, but I mean, we did a shit ton of stuff in that time. And now we can't wait to come back. And we met so many interesting people that are like, oh, yeah, I'm a pleasure activist. I work with sex workers. We're like, everybody we're meeting is the fucking coolest person ever.
Right.
Dang.
Do you feel like you, like, were in a particularly progressive pocket? Or you feel like they were kind of talking about overall, like, Mexican culture?
Well, I think because of what we do for the podcast and when we were looking for people to interview, we specifically are like, who has interesting love and sexuality stories in Mexico City? So, and then because of who our friends are and who their friends are, I think you kind of, a little bit self-selecting.
Right.
You know, because we are progressive people and, you know, we have friends that are trans and non-binary and artists. Like, that's who our friends are going to introduce us to. So I feel like that's true, but we ask them
what
on
their
own.
Is,
what's it like?
Yeah.
And I mean, I talked to a 21-year-old who has a girlfriend and she's totally cool with him just cross-dressing. And that's all he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his like point of view on it was like, I never understood how women felt until I was dressed as a woman and got treated as a woman.
Oh,
and it's just a real like mind blowing. I'm like, that's the most progressive shit I've ever heard. This 21-year-old is like schooling me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Dang, these kids are, everyone's younger than us.
And so better. Much cooler than us.
Fuck.
We're like old fucking phones that will not boot up with like the new.
We're flip phones.
New. Yeah, we're like, there's no pictures on
this
thing.
You want to play Snake?
I'm interested, like, that'll be interesting to see on your podcast as you like look at different cultures, which, because I wonder how much of America is unique. Like, America, because it is this culture that doesn't really have a history, like a long history, I feel like there's more of a tendency towards extreme religion and also like not having like strong family, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Strong family.
Well, I think those ties
values.
Typically come from people who like migrate to this country.
Exactly.
Like they're bringing those here. And that's sort of like what the, you know, the melting pot.
Right.
As Alexis de Tocqueville.
Oh, and that's one thing that also people kept telling us. They're like, you know, this is a true melting pot of like three different cultures.
Yeah.
And they're like, in a lot of places, you know, doesn't happen what happened here. And the tour guy put it like this. He's like, everybody came here and everybody fucked each other.
Right.
And he's like, it's a true melting pot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody's kind of tied into everybody else and the history is very deep. And you know, all the food, they're like, oh, this is from this country. This is from this country.
Right.
This is how this got incorporated. And it is a true melting pot. It was pretty, pretty insane. And it's one of the biggest cities in the world. I think second biggest, maybe.
Right. It's enormous.
Huge.
Awesome. Well, where can people hear about that?
It's Private Parts Unknown. We're on the Pleasure Podcast Network.
Pleasure.
All right. Let's talk about something slightly positive to start things off, because I came in today really, really bleak, guys.
Sad. Storm Sad. Cloud. His hair was a storm cloud.
So let's talk about something that somebody's doing that seems like a good idea, using kindness constructively.
Well, you know, we talked a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, about that New York Times piece that was a profile on CBP, not CBD, right. Customs and Border Patrol agents, to sort of get a general take on like what it's like there, where many people are like, it's fucking terrible. It's a terrible place to work as a woman. There are many people who are just fucking like terrible people. There are also people who are there who hate the fact that this is their job.
But have they tried CBD oil?
I don't know.
Because I feel like that would maybe help some of the things we're talking about.
It's worth noting.
Right.
And also just the idea that there are people where the morale is just so low because like they go to work and they have to interact with children who are just crying for their parents and things like that. And psychologically that's taking a toll. And then, you know, a lot of it, we were also talking about, most of us, sort of the idea is like, man, these people are fucking, they suck or whatever. Why can't they just do something else? And then, you know, we talked about how not many people just have the ability to fucking quit a job because they're philosophically opposed to it, because the way this system is set up, you must work to live. And if you're not working, then you could perish quite quickly, or your life, your living situation could turn very dark very quickly. So the Never Again Action Group, they're an immigrant rights group that's spearheaded by a lot of Jewish activists about this idea of like not separating families, you know, akin to the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
They were really trying to figure out, because they do a lot of activities outside of ICE facilities and things like that. A lot of the people around it were thinking of like, it's not, a lot of the times they chant, quit your job, quit your job. And then we're kind of realizing like, that's just kind of not enough either. So
it's
on
sort of
Monday,
dismissive to the people themselves.
On Monday, they were thinking like, okay, what can we actually do? So they launched a website that would match ICE agents with confidential career advisors like you would in college.
That's
to
amazing.
To try and find a way for you to get another job so you can fucking quit this disastrous, evil organization.
Yeah.
And they said from that launch, like two people immediately like hit them up. From outside the like Atlanta area where they were first trying to like get people to like sort of notice this project. But they said, yeah, those people who came out were just immediately like, yeah, I don't want to be. I absolutely do not want to work here anymore. And the comment that one of the people left who was interacting with the website confidentially said something like, I'm drowning in this place. So, you know, I think there is this idea that we think that every person that works there is just an automaton who's hellbent on doing harm. And I think there are some people who are. But there are very much also people who, you know, like we were saying too, like Border Patrol in certain areas is a very quick ticket to a middle class lifestyle. Like you could just have a high school education and start making, you know, decent money. So, you know, shout out to them for using, you know, sensible tactics. Because again, I think one thing we've learned throughout this whole week is that money fucking makes everything move. They don't matter. Because at the end of the day, it's nothing works without money.
Yeah. I also just want to say that I think the way that like becoming complicit in evil works is it happens kind of in a certain way slowly, but then you're like, what the fuck?
Sure.
Right.
And I think, you know, it does, you were mentioning the Holocaust, it like totally makes you think about the Germans that lived in Nazi Germany that weren't like gung-ho Nazis, but then...
Right.
We're also caught there. And I don't think anybody came and was like, hey, this is your ticket out of the Nazi party or whatever.
Well, unless it was like be a defector or something and a conspirator and be executed.
Yeah. So, and I feel like giving these people a way to leave something that is like someone making you complicit in evil is fucked up.
Right.
So giving someone a way out, I think, is like actually a real way to work at the problem, as opposed to just be like, this is fucked up.
Well, I mean, it definitely helps weaken that agency. But I think, yeah, the real solutions have to come from further up. But I think that's where we're at least acknowledging the humanity of people who are in a situation they probably also don't want to be in.
Right.
And that there are people like that. Again, and they're also evil fucking monsters
of course.
Who are out here getting off on watching children cry.
Yeah. Or who are when journalists come in, be like, oh, so you write fake news?
Oh, right.
So you write for the fake news?
Why don't you admit? No, propaganda.
Wasn't propaganda. Like, yeah,
you
yeah.
have to admit that that's what you do, and you won't, and you'll get your passport back.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry.
That happened
what?
To a journalist named Ben Watson, I think at LAX or maybe JFK. So.
Well, here's some propaganda. Suck my shit.
Yeah, that is some propaganda for sure. all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time to sort of check in with the whistleblower ongoing
this used
Ukraine
to be my alarm.
Saga. Was it?
It was.
That's fucking dope.
Did you have a flashback to when you had alarms?
Yeah. On my phone.
Oh, just in general, that was always
That's
your alarm
my alarm.
Phone?
You're like,
even
was
right
in the morning.
Now.
No, it's no diggity, no doubt.
Oh, something a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the beginning
blow the whistle
part.
Does make you feel in a good mood, though.
Yeah. When you wake
like,
up?
Like, right away. Yeah.
Does it? I've noticed when I used to wake up to an alarm, the song that would wake me up was ruined because I hated my alarm.
Because you were mad at it? Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole other show. What are you saying about our constitutional democracy falling apart?
Yeah, so
boring. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like we need to take a step back, like, you know, just kind of through osmosis, taking in like what the media is saying right now. It seems like they're treating this like another Trump scandal, sort of.
Rather than we're crossing the Rubicon.
Right. Rather than this is like even on the left, the Democrats are treating it like, I mean, this is, we've only had three impeachments in the history of the country. I don't even think that's giving it the I think this is outside of U.S. history. Like, you can't judge it on the continuum of U.S. history because that's not who this is. This is a dictator trying to sweep to power and end the country as we know it. And he's not going to stop until he's done that or he's in prison. Like, it doesn't matter. I know, like, a lot of people are just like, it's really easy to underrate him or just like be like, he's an idiot. But whether he's, you know, just exactly the right type of idiot for this moment or he's like a genius, he's effective at what he's doing. And it seems, I just got the feeling in the past 24 hours, like he's successfully weathering the fact that he admitted to cheating on an election that's currently going on. And that's like so stark. Like that's the whole thing. That's the whole system. Like, and the things that are supposed to check him are the media and Congress. And he's basically rendered them moot at this point. And we're still, I feel like we're still treating like that. That's what seems different this time to me is Congress just has proven like there's nothing that can be done.
Well, right. Because we're up against somebody who literally doesn't give a fuck about the law.
Right.
Like in that letter, right, where he was like telling Congress, he's like, I'm not fucking with this. Like literally was like, I'm not really feeling this. So
right.
Go on. Like I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
And the way the language that's being used, right, characterizing like the impeachment thing, he's calling it in that letter, right, says never before in our history has the House of Representatives under the control of either political party taken the American people down the dangerous path you seem determined to pursue. So that is saying I'm diametrically opposed to a constitutionally sanctioned ability or power granted to the Congress. And then saying then to try and spin this as overturning the election is another thing. Like we're not actually acknowledging what's happening. It's all trying to obscure what's actually going on. And it's kind of like that idea. I always bring up this same thing from history of like when the Vikings pulled up to continental Europe.
Yeah.
They were used to just smashing motherfuckers and taking their shit.
Yeah.
And they came to Europe and they saw fucking monasteries and shit where there was a lot of money, gold or whatever that were being protected by monks who were like relying on people's faith or fear of God,
right,
to deter people from going into the fucking places and stealing everything and smashing shit up. The Vikings pulled up. They don't have that context.
Right.
They said, this is it?
Yeah.
Watch me smash the fuck out of y'all and take this shit. And that's where people were like, what the fuck? People used to have the fear of God in them.
Right.
And now we are fully in this mode now where other people might have been like, ah, shit, okay, a subpoena. That I should probably follow that because, you know, the law.
He's not going to respond to that stuff. Like, I don't have a solution other than that everybody needs to start taking it, like, way more seriously and recognize it as the, you know, existential threat that it is. But he's told us who he is. He's a dictator. We're going to, if he gets away with this, we're going to be letting him get away with being a dictator. We haven't had one of those in American history. The precedent is other dictators and how their regime started in other countries. That's who he wants to be. That's who our institutions are letting him be, or, you know, not trying to let him be, but the media, the mainstream media, like he's basically invalidated them with the whole multi-year fake news thing. Electoral politics he's invalidating by being able to use the powers of the presidency to cheat on the election, and the other branches of the government. They're just not holding up, and we keep expecting them to come in and prove we're different from history and we're different from those other countries that became dictatorships. And that doesn't seem to be happening. Like, that there needs to be a change in order for that to happen, because otherwise, like, that's, he's not going to go away. If he gets away with this, he's not going away next year. And I don't think he's going away 5 years from now if he's still alive. I think he's going to, you know, the more we let him act like a dictator who gets to strong arm everyone and every institution, the more rope he's going to take, the more he's going to do that, and the harder he's going to be to get away. Yeah, to get out of the office.
I think the hard thing is hearing, you know, Republicans, or at least Lindsey Graham, being like, I'm trying to get all the Republicans to sign a letter in the Senate basically saying we absolutely won't take this seriously in the Senate. And I think we also need to really, really begin looking more critically. I mean, not that people aren't already, but also looking at who exactly is enabling this too. Because as much as we focus on, like, why is Trump doing this? Why is this all this other shit happening too? We should be probably demonstrating in front of the offices, in front of the Senate Republicans, because these are the people who truly are allowing this to happen. They're sort of saying, well, this is my team. Because we've gone into such our own corners and to such an extent where we're over not allowing ourselves, or they are not allowing themselves to see the threat that this person poses, we need to begin to hold their feet to the fire too. And I think that's something that's actually missing. A lot of the reporting is like, oh my God, can you believe the Justice Department doing this and this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, hold on. What about the senators who are just standing idly by and creating this atmosphere for Trump to flourish in too? And I think that's another point of rot that has to be addressed, and a little bit more like emphasis on that too, because, you know, this is happening everywhere in the world right now too. There right. are many countries at the same time who are being like, we're pushing back against the corruption we're seeing. It's happening in Puerto Rico. It's happening in Ukraine. It's happening in fucking Bolivia. It's happening in Haiti. It's happening in Iraq. It's happening in Hong Kong. There are fucking so many places where people, Egypt, where they're saying, yo, y'all are fucking us, the people.
Right.
What's good here?
Yeah.
And I think that's a point where I'm not sure Americans are quite at that, you know. The beauty of this system is that they've deceived us as voters and citizens into thinking this is the best thing that's going on and everything is pure.
Right.
And now we're at that point now where all that fucking corruption and rot is, we're now seeing in the form of ineffective governance, ineffective checks and balances. The only thing they're trying to do is check their balances. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like their bank account.
Exactly. But it's, this is sort of, this is the byproduct of all of this now. And we're actually, I don't know what kind of sea change could happen among American people.
Yeah. Because I think we're in more danger than the mainstream, like, sort of assumption on either side seems to realize we are.
Well, because I think the Democrats seem to be like, oh, okay, you're going to really just fucking say nah to this?
Right.
But then, so
it's
what?
It's like, yes.
Then they did. Now what?
I just right. don't think. I mean, people say this all the time about the Democrats, like, not enough backbone.
Right, but I'm guessing this is the part now. What remedies do we have within our Constitution to have a... How do you swing back on this?
Right.
Because how do you answer illegality with, what, more illegality?
Yeah.
Because really the only shot we have, or people are thinking, is like, well, we'll just have to sue, and then the Supreme Court will ultimately decide. But do we really have faith in these people? Because we've seen over the, you know, last few decades, that just become a fucking, you know, the coaching staff for the new corporatocracy. Like, yeah, get our people who, you know, vote in our favor there.
Yep.
Right.
So I don't know. It's does seem bleak. But then I'm curious, as we say with money, what happens when the money gets weird? What happens when the economy does really terribly? Because already the deficit's up, what, 68% than when Trump took office?
Yeah.
The farm bailout is already twice the auto bailout.
But I mean, I don't think we can count on the recession to come save us. Like,
what, no, that's what I'm saying. Know? I don't know.
And also remember how easy it is to spin. Like, shit, it doesn't really matter what the facts are to this administration.
What, to the people, right?
No, but that's what they get sold. You know what I mean? So it's like, just because... Obama, when he was in office, reduced unemployment and did so well for the economy, and it transferred over to Trump's term. Doesn't mean that Trump is good for the economy, but they will spin it like that for
no. But
forever.
I'm not. It's
but I'm
not,
saying this is the same thing that if it starts failing, they can be like, "Well, we're dealing with the Democratic policies still from Obama. That's really what the problem
yeah,
is."
Yeah, but know? I'm not talking about how you spin the recession to voters. I'm talking about the moneyed class in this country that are truly at the levers of power. The people who are like, "Yeah, let me get those tax cuts." The people who are really pillaging the country, and I think. There's a lot at stake for those people, too, because at the end of the day, their God is money. We saw that with the NBA. We see that with other video game companies, all the China stuff that's going on. No one wants to threaten their revenue streams. So I'm curious if at a certain point, those have been the moments where people have been like, oh, geez, this trade war is fucking us up. What are we going to do? Like, is there a point where that moneyed banking class, the investment bankers of the world, the corporations of the world, it gets becomes untenable for them?
I don't. It seems like everything he does is ends up actually benefiting the very, very wealthiest and most powerful people. Like, yeah, it's fucking the farmers, but it's not necessarily fucking people who are viewing things from like a macroeconomic level and just kind of looking at America as an economic competitor to China. Like, that's sort of how he's viewing it too. And, you know, his tax cut is bad for the overall economy, but it's good for the wealthiest, like the 40 wealthiest households in America. And
right.
So it seems like, I don't know. I did hear a political scientist talk about how he thinks that the only thing that people were reacting to in past impeachments was the economy. So like Clinton, we look back and we're like, people just didn't care about the sexual mores. But when you actually asked them about that, people were like not happy with Clinton, but they were just, the economy was moving in the right direction. And so their opinion basically followed the economy. And the economy is doing well right now, so he doesn't see opinion changing on this story unless the economy starts going in the shitter. And I guess, you know, it's debatable whether the economy is doing well, but his take is that, like, the stock market and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Nixon, like, the big public opinion turnabout actually happened right as the economy was hitting the shitter. So it's... like those things need to, I guess, align with one another in order for something to change, is his theory.
Right.
It's also that everything's been at an 11 for like a couple of years.
Right.
So people have run out of outrage. And like, I'm definitely not the first person to say that. But people, I don't know how you get people interested in the like increasingly horrible dictator moves that are happening in this country when they've already been like, what the fuck is happening for years.
Yeah, I think that is really a good point. I think that is what we're seeing right now, is just that people, like, there's no sense of proportion anymore because we've spent the last year, you know, being told everything is life and death, and, you know, because it kind of is, but he just has a tendency to just take up all the oxygen in the news cycle. And so it is exhausting. And we've talked before, just from a historical perspective, how in the early 30s, when the Nazis swept to power and were doing all this outrageous stuff, all the headlines were about that. But by the time they, you know, started the Holocaust and started invading other countries, none of the headlines in Germany or like in even surrounding countries were about that, because people were just fucking tired of it.
Yeah, resigned to the fact that that's what it was.
And it was just years and years of reading those headlines, and you can only write the same story. It's almost like a hack in the time-space continuum, where it's just like, yeah, just keep doing the same shit over and over and over again. And it's sort of like Trump's thing, where he accuses his enemy of the thing that he has done bad, so that when they find out what he's done bad, he, you know, there's just, people have already heard that word 100 times, and it's just kind of losing all meaning.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I can feel somewhat good about is that some of the other cases that are floating through the courts are absolutely not going Trump's way. And they are getting orders on certain things to do, you know, like right now there's this whole idea of them trying to keep some of the grand jury material from the Mueller report away from Congress. And their argument was the judge was asking, like, so do you think in the Watergate like impeachment, they shouldn't have had this material, but like law enforcement and these other people should? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. They shouldn't have had that in the Nixon era. And the judge's response was, wow, okay. That's a very interesting argument.
Right.
Like, I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah.
So I think because that's the thing, though, too. When it gets to court, there are moments where they are absolutely just trying to rewrite the law in a way that makes no sense because it's purely a stalling tactic. It's not based in any legal argument.
Right.
A lot of the stalling tactics, I mean, I'm sure they found clever ways to try and maneuver things. But for the most part, a lot of these things are there because they're like, look, we'll just take a ridiculous take. We'll try and run out the clock. Maybe they won't be able to get a vote on impeachment till closer to the election. And then they won't take a vote because then they don't want some of the vulnerable people in the House or Senate to have that on their record and answer for that. There's just like there's just a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to know because clearly the Congress is unable to be a check on the power of the executive at this point. So I guess we'll see what the judiciary does.
Right. Hopefully one of the three.
But if not, I mean, I think it's true. That's something people really do need to understand. Like what, you know, this isn't a uniquely Trump thing. This has been America since, you know, its inception of this sort of imbalance.
Right.
And I think it's easier when like the times were really good in the middle of this last century up until the end of this, up until the beginning of this one. And as people are starting to see what is really happening, you'd hope that we can tap into some kind of sense of outrage to try and restore some kind of balance. But that's why it's important to look at the kind of candidates we want to run also.
Right.
Because ultimately the business as usual type people who are here to be like, oh yeah, I'm here for, you know, small government and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not clear enough. And I think you're just a pod person caping for a corporatocracy. Like we need to actually put human beings back into these positions. But yeah, it's a long ass process and a terrible evolution we're having to witness in slow motion right now.
But, you know, we've successfully done long processes that got us things that we then immediately started taking for granted. But, you know, it can be done. I did want to talk really briefly. There was a chart that I was talking about earlier this week about basically the tax rate as it applies to different income groups. And it kind of shows the evolution over time. And, you know, in 1950, it goes up in an up direction. So the people who are the richest 400 households in the United States are paying the highest tax rate. And then it just steadily goes in the opposite direction until this past year, 2018, the top 400 households are paying the lowest tax rate because of loopholes and just various things they're able to exploit. And there, the article that chart appears in explains how Trump's tax cut has affected, you know, middle class and poor families, basically keeping their taxes flat. And, you know, meanwhile, wealthier families and the wealthiest families have seen just enormous returns. So it's going even more in that direction.
Yeah.
And this is as America is seeing wealth imbalance and income imbalance, inequality on level with, like, you know, developing nations or third world countries or whatever phrase you use.
And that guy, Tom Hartman, is like an economist and, you know, general take machine, was talking about how, you know, there's a multi-million dollar effort through these news organizations and through Facebook to create people who are going to buy this mentality or this idea that we need wealthy people and we need to keep their taxes low and all these myths that help to keep
trickle
a class
down economics.
Right. And all these ideas, whether it's distraction and blaming other people, that keep a very large group of Americans locked into this mentality that this is fine. Like voting against your interests, that there's no such thing as voting against your interests. And that's a very interesting point because that is something that has been cultivated over time because these are the exact people who you can say, I know you're mad about these costs of living and this, that, and the other, but are you willing to actually see who you're voting for and what the policies that they enact actually do to you?
Yeah.
And then, but that's part of the, I mean, to a certain level, it's also happening on the left in terms of just sort of blindly following your side or whatever, but specifically to be like voting against your own interests like this is also a part of the grand plan as well.
Yeah. And I mean, the left is growing and growing, so I don't know how much that's blindly following, you know, as much as it's,
well, I just mean people. More like there are people who are just blindly will listen to the takes of centrist or neoliberal talking points,
right,
and not really,
yeah,
begin to examine them. I think that in and of itself is a form of people just sort of droning off. But yeah, then there's a very other specific brand too, where it's like, let's not think about corruption or what these people were voting in, what they do. It's more like, hey man, we're just trying to make America great. Let's keep that shit vague.
Yeah. But anyways, that chart and this op-ed is part of a review of a book called The Triumph of Injustice that is about how really wealthy people and companies have found ways to not pay taxes and how that is a huge, you know, injustice that has actual impacts on, you know, the lives of people and people's ability to live happy, healthy lives that are just not die.
Right.
And I think it's being released next week, but it's, you know, they do have solutions in the book that are about how to adapt the tax code. And I think some of the Democratic candidates in the 2020 election are actually adopting some of their suggestions. I think Elizabeth Warren's tax plan is actually pretty heavily influenced by these two award-winning economists.
I think it's also an attitude, like, and a mentality thing, because when we went to Helsinki for the podcast, like, the thing that struck us so much is that the government there invests in their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They think that's one of their greatest strengths,
right,
is having that and caring about their people. So providing infrastructure to support that, not to just say that, that's how their government,
yeah,
works. And then it's not an accident that's considered to be the happiest country in the world.
Right.
It's because they're not looking at their citizens as a piggy bank.
Right.
You know, or as a resource to exploit. They're looking at their citizens as a resource, period.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that, I just think that it's dishonest to pretend that the, you know, that America isn't completely different from that, and that, you know, the extremely wealthy aren't, you know, basically robbing the country blind. Like,
right,
that's,
yep,
what is happening.
Well, if you just look, right, like even in 2014, McDonald's workers in Denmark made $20 an hour.
Right.
$20 USD an hour.
Yeah.
And here we're still out here trying to be like, can we get 15?
Right.
And if you really think of, like, you know, back in probably 2008 or something, in this book called Screwed, about how, like, the middle class has been dismantled, again by Tom Hartman, raises this point of, like, if you really actually tied CEO pay to minimum wage around the time he wrote that book, minimum wage should have been $25 an hour. So
right,
probably now at this point, minimum wage should probably be $35 an hour.
Right.
If we're talking about if the workers are going to be paid proportionally to what the CEOs, how exponential their growth is in their income,
right,
then that's what minimum wage should be.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't really take into account that we are fucking getting suckered by,
right,
people that are this wealthy. It's like, well, you know, if people work 40 hours a week, you got to give them an hour lunch or something, blah, blah, blah. Well, then maybe they'll work 38 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And how these people cut these fucking corners at the cost of our own quality of life. And I think that's really, hopefully people really get in touch with the true class warfare that is actually going on in this country and a lot of the developed.
And it's tied into the healthcare system.
Yeah.
It's tied into the schools and the prison. It's all of it.
Yeah.
Our focus should be on how can we make our citizens the most happy and have the most enriched lives,
right,
instead of how can we get the most money out of them. We don't care if they die. We don't want to take care of them. If they're sick, fuck you.
Well, because, yeah, all, like, well, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah.
How much is it going
to
cost?
That's all it comes down
again,
to.
Again, right, because the profits are the fucking god.
But
yeah,
the how much it's going to cost is Like, that's an important part of the thing, is that the reason we don't have as much money to pay for these things is because the richest 1% are actually not paying their fair share.
Right.
Yep.
Not even close to it. Like, so this book with these two economists suggest a, you know, progressive tax code that's more in line with the tax code at the outset of, like, America's greatest period of prosperity. The last time it was as imbalanced as it currently is was right before the Great Depression. So right. Take that hint, for what hint. It is. But they just say, you know, bring in the richest 1% would roughly have to pay double the tax rate that they're paying now, or 60%, which would bring in $750 billion a year, or 4% of GDP, enough to pay for universal pre-K, an infrastructure program, medical research, clean energy. And yeah, they point out those are the kinds of policies that lift economic growth because, like you said, you're treating your citizens like assets, like, you know, things to be invested in as opposed to things to be exploited.
Like, or barnacles that you need to scrape off the hull of the SS predatory profit.
Right.
SS US dollar.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about footballers' wives.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Miles, let's get right into the footy drama alert. Because I need this explained
right
to me.
Now, man.
Okay.
It's okay. So in the UK, they refer to the wives and girlfriends of footballers as wags. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what they call them, wags over there. And right now,
what does that stand for?
Wives and girlfriends.
Got it.
Okay.
They call them that here too.
Oh, did they adopt that now?
Yeah.
It's okay. For a long time. They had a WAGS show on TLC or Bravo or something like that.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Hey. So right now the drama is between the wives of two England strikers. Well, not anymore for Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney, who famously played for Manchester United and for DC United. And Jamie Vardy, who plays for Leicester City and is a very interesting character. Just some background on Jamie Vardy.
Is he still good? Because...
he's all right. I mean, he's not nearly as good as the season when Leicester won the league in 2015, 2016.
Okay.
But around this guy, he like it was kind of the dude at certain points. He had to play with an ankle monitor on for some shit he got into.
Oh,
he,
like a police ankle monitor.
Yes,
what
yes.
kind of shit did he get into?
I think it may have been drink driving or something, as they call it in the UK.
Drink driving.
Drink driving.
And also Wayne Rooney also he's been cheating a lot on his wife. A lot of drink driving over there, too. But interesting fact about Jamie Vardy, there was in his book, he had like a dead leg that he couldn't get over. And the physio was like, what the fuck is going on with you, bro? Like, we're rehabbing, you're resting. And he find out this dude has just been drinking a bunch of vodka. and so what he would do is he would fill up like a 3-liter bottle of vodka with only red and purple Skittles because he liked the flavor. And that was like his fucking vibe. And he also famously would
drink. Wait, he would do that before playing or like?
I think like whenever. Like that was just part of his shit. I mean, he would drink a ton of Red Bull before playing. And famously took a shit while playing Arsenal in the middle of a match.
Wait, what do you mean? Like on the field?
No. He like left, yeah, he like went down hole. The tunnel.
I was like, how come this isn't a bigger deal? You shit on the field? I need more.
Another thing is he would say in the season that his team won in 2015 and 16, he would drink basically a bottle of like half Gatorade, half Port.
What?
Every night? That was his pre-match meal, like drink? Or the night before, and then the day of, he would drink a double espresso and 3 cans of Red Bull.
Damn. Okay.
Anyway, so he's on his own vibe. So back to the lecture at hand.
Red Bull is so bad for you.
Yeah. So Rebecca.
Unless they want to sponsor us.
So his wife, Rebecca Vardy, and Colleen Rooney, wife of Wayne Rooney, are into some shit right now because Colleen Rooney was noticing a lot of shit from her personal life was ending up in the Sun, the tabloid over there, and couldn't understand because she had her own like private Instagram account that was only for people she knew personally. So she was like, how the fuck is shit I'm talking about on here ending up there? So she concocted a little fucking experiment.
To see how where the leak would go.
Yeah. So she started on her stories. She blocked everyone she followed or that was following her except for one woman, Rebecca Vardy. Okay. And was like, and for 5 months started putting in bullshit stories to see if any of them would end up in the Sun. Like, so she's like, oh, my basement flooded or this other thing. Like she went to Mexico to for some kind of experimental thing where she would be able to select the gender of her child when she was pregnant. And these things made it into the Sun. So then I think yesterday.
Ooh, Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah,
ooh.
She came out with it and was like, so let me gather around, kids. I've been doing this experiment because I've noticed a lot of disturbing things have been showing up in the tabloids.
Secrets.
And for 5 months I've been doing this thing and it's Rebecca Vardy. And her excuse.
Boom.
Now I will read the defense that Rebecca Vardy tweeted out for this kind of, you know, underhandedness. She says, as I have just said to you on the phone, I wish you had called me if you thought this. I never speak to anyone about you, as various journalists who have asked me to over the years can vouch for. If you thought this was happening, you could have told me and I could have changed my passwords to see if it stopped. Over the years, various people have had access to my Insta, and just this week I found I was following people I didn't know and have never followed in my life.
Stupid.
I'm not being funny, but I don't need the money. What would I gain from selling stories on you? I liked you a lot, Colleen, and I'm so upset that you have chosen to do this, especially when I'm heavily pregnant. I'm disgusted that I'm even having to deny this. You should have called me the first time this happened. Heartbreak emoji.
Yeah.
Do we think...
bullshit.
I think when you start doing the... I mean, I'm starting to follow accounts I've never seen. Come on, fam.
Right.
It's just... you love to see it, though. You really do.
I like it when a juicy secret comes out like that. Mm.
Her story is that somebody broke into her account, found out about this other woman's
private
Instagram
life.
Posts following her. So someone broke into her account to follow someone else.
I guess.
And get secrets about their private life and then sold those secrets to the Sun.
Maybe, if we're living in her world.
Huh.
It's a tough sell.
Yeah.
It's a hard bargain.
That is...
no good.
Yeah. I'm not buying it.
Come up with a better lie, dog.
Colleen. Yeah.
Well, the no, Colleen is the victim here.
Colleen,
Rebecca,
you.
But you know, a
victim. Don't play the victim, Colleen.
Colleen Rooney. Yo, Wayne has been doing her dirty for a long time.
Damn,
when she was
man.
Pregnant, he was like sleeping around on her, having like threesomes and shit. So she's been through it.
His name's Wayne Rooney. This is on her.
Yeah, he had terrible hair plugs.
You do not marry a guy named that.
I thought he was in his 50s.
You did?
Yeah.
Just legitimate off
based
the photo?
On like I had seen him like many years, like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was during one of the World Cups when he was like the best player on England's team.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, well, that guy must be very old.
No,
at that time, and now he must be like in playing on the seniors tour or whatever.
Yeah, he'll be 30, I think, 4 this year.
Yeah,
he's dominant. He's scored some pretty wild goals in the MLS, which people tend to do when they come over from Europe. But
so this is like if the Shaq Damian Lillard beef were their wives.
Yeah,
kind of
maybe. I mean,
and a little bit messier.
I don't know what their beef is to begin with, really.
Right.
But I do know that there is an interesting stat for the amount of minutes Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy played together on the pitch. They never created a goal scoring chance for the other player.
Yeah.
So
that's true, man.
Not a lot of harmony in that three lion squad.
That's how you know.
Yeah. That's how you know exactly.
Right. Any thoughts on this, Sophia?
I mean, just too many almost.
Yeah.
It's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess, and I really don't know if Rebecca Vardy was like trying to make money or she just really hated. You know, there's got to be something else, right? Like if Rebecca Vardy really was, and I believe she probably was the one, obviously the leak.
She just probably
based on
enjoyed
this experiment,
fucking her friend over.
Was it her friend or was it one of those things where she's like, it's all because you didn't come to my baby shower type shit, or like you fucking shaded me at this restaurant?
Right.
It could obviously be
they're competitively
be that.
Fucking the best soccer player in England.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
You wouldn't?
No.
They're not. Oh, were they ever?
Their peaks weren't at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So it was hard. Like, Jamie Vardy had his time a few years ago, and Wayne Rooney had his, like, 7 years ago.
Right.
So.
Right, but I'm just wondering if she was, like, feeling.
But I guess historically, right, like, Wayne Rooney was the man, and then when Jamie Vardy had his huge season, then he became the man. So maybe
right.
since there were two like, mans
yeah.
on the block.
Okay.
All right. Well, shout out to the England.
Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. Let's check in with the ongoing Menghazi story. We haven't checked in for a while, but Ronan Farrow's book is dropping.
I love him.
The 15th of October, and it's got some details in it that are horrifying.
Is the book specifically about Matt Lauer?
The book's about the whole thing.
About what whole thing?
But the whole Weinstein.
Oh,
Lauer,
just got it. Okay,
book. Right. But he was the one who broke the Lauer news.
Right.
And in fact, he was at NBC News when he was building the Weinstein story, and NBC News.
Oh, right.
Was
Kent
who was
Shelby,
trying
right?
to block the story.
Right.
And there's some actual amazing quotes from the book and on that subject. It says from this Variety article, the book paints NBC News executives as obstructive in his Weinstein investigation. As Farrow amassed his reporting about Weinstein, Noah Oppenheim, who was the head of NBC News, asked him, like, is this really worth it?
Oh my God.
And suggested no one knows who Weinstein is.
Okay.
Farrow was eventually told Amazing. To stop reporting the story because it was under review at NBC Universal. This is a Steve Burke decision. It's an Andy decision, Richard Greenberg, the head of NBC News' investigative unit, told him. And so since he didn't believe NBC would ever run his story, he took it to The New Yorker and promptly won a Pulitzer.
Wow.
So good call on that one, dipshit.
Yeah. We'll see. And again, you see the kinds of people in positions of power that keep this kind of shit in place.
Yeah.
All the people at NBC News, you have someone who is being like, this needs to be reported, and people dragging their feet and enabling this shit.
Yeah.
So, don't you love how good Ronan Farrow, though, is at his job?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a fucking hound dog. He's like, what's that? The scent of injustice? Bam, right. Solved it. Followed it right to the source.
Yeah.
So what is this new...
The Lauer thing basically is it's going from he was having all sorts of extramarital affairs all over the desks at NBC News to a rape allegation. Nice. The colleague that he...
He's so smug.
Right. So, and his statement is just the smuggest shit that you've ever heard. But so basically the colleague was drunk and they were hooking up and she said no to a certain sex act and he just went and did it anyways. And she says, first of all, she was too drunk to consent. And second of all, he, you know, raped her. And
his defense is like, it was consensual, basically. Yeah,
it was consensual. And here, let me describe in detail what sex acts we engaged in.
What a dick.
One of the really brutal details is that she was still at NBC News when Lauer was fired, and she was made to sit in meetings where people who probably knew she was the accuser were like casting doubt on her account and Jeez. Defending Lauer. And
fuck.
Yeah, NBC eventually paid her a seven-figure settlement after putting her on medical leave and asked her to release a statement saying she was leaving to pursue other interests and that NBC News had been an example of how to properly handle sexual assault in the workplace.
Oh, yeah. I think the second sure. you help, you enable a guy by installing trap doors
right.
in their office.
The door lock, the lock button.
Like, I'm...
That's like literally some supervillain shit.
Oh, yeah. No, right. I mean, that like, is a supervillain. That's like a
trope. No one in real life
has a locking mechanism under their desk like that.
That's Mr. Burns shit. That's so weird and fucked up.
Don't bring Mr. Burns into this.
Don't besmirch his good name.
Don't besmirch that selfish billionaire.
We're also learning some creepy details about James Franco, who sort of, I don't know like what happened. It was almost like his name got brought up at the very end when people were like, all right, enough with this story. Let's move on.
I don't
like,
know. He spun out of that one real
quick. Yeah. I mean, I think how he also just James like Franco dropped off the face of the earth.
But how James Franco hasn't had consequences for all the shit.
Right.
Like, he went on SNL and made fun of the fact that he was texting with that high school girl, like Instagram DMing. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, what are we doing?
What's wrong with us?
Like, how good an actor do we think he is?
Right.
I don't think he's good enough to ignore him fucking underage girls.
It's like, but he's got that vibe of a chill stoner.
And then, like, right. I've always thought that his brother, Dave Franco, was the good one, and he's the fucking trash
is Dave,
one.
Oh, Dave is the trash one?
No, Dave, no, I think, no. is the good one.
Is
he's,
Dave
like,
the
funny
good one?
And nice.
Is I hopefully that's that holds
up. But James
up.
Is, ugh.
Well, yeah, and all the stories, basically, because, you know what, he had to answer questions about the practices of his, like, studio and acting school, basically, where he was making women do a lot of things they didn't want to in the name of, like, this is an acting class. And I remember he was like, you know, like, whatever I got to do, like, I'll do, like, what, you know, I'm not going to say sorry, but I'm going to say I'll do
whatever else.
To make amends, or I'm open to hearing these women.
But also the balls on him to say that that was a class.
Right.
No, you were auditioning women.
Right.
To like force them into pornography for you.
Yeah, he had a school, an acting school, that had a propensity for letting attractive women in and offered a $750 master class for sex scenes.
Right.
In which they had to videotape themselves simulating sex, sign away the rights to the recording. And in these acting classes, women were routinely pressured to engage in simulated sex acts that went far beyond the standards in the industry. So it wasn't like, there's no claim to what he was doing was educational. It was just, you know, him trying to get away with whatever he could and again, making people pay for
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say. And making the women pay for their own humiliation and shit. That's so fucked up.
Right. And again, just that abuse of power, because that studio set up to be like, look, we make movies. So logically, if you really want this, we're going to sort of leverage that to exploit your desire to succeed by making you self-tape these like weird videos that we own. And, you know, the lawsuit that they're filing, they not only just want like the like they're seeking financial damages, but they want those tapes back.
Yeah,
and
no
to be
shit.
Destroyed, because they don't just want this shit out there for their weird like half baked like porn shit they were making. And yeah, when he went on Colbert in January of 2018, right after all of this stuff was coming out, he said again his quote unquote apology said, "If there's restitution to be made, I will make it. I'm here to listen and learn and change my perspective where it's off."
Right.
And what a fucking liar.
Exactly. Then his lawyer claim that a lot of these, like a lot of the things that were claimed in this lawsuit had already been debunked. What the fuck does that even mean?
Right. So which ones in particular? It's just like the same shit as like the the Trump shit, where it's just like, I mean, a lot of this stuff has already been debunked, you know, just like
no.
throwing shit out there without like allowing people to follow up and be like, okay, can you talk about specifically what you mean by that?
Right.
He also directed, not that this has any bearing on culpability in any of this, but apparently he just released a movie, his directorial debut, that, you know, if you thought you wanted to go to a film school run by him before, you would see this movie and have some second thoughts, because it's being dubbed the worst film of 2019. it's based on a well-regarded novel about a guy who comes to Hollywood in 1969 and initially gets mistaken for a member of the Manson family. Good call on releasing that right after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And apparently it's just a real piece of shit, like its director. Sounds
I wonder
like.
How, like, if he, what else he has in, like, development or, like, production, where there people are still like, yeah, yeah, like, we're still...
People are obviously still fucking with him.
Yeah.
His roast wasn't even that long ago. His Comedy Central roast.
Ooh.
Like, we have that really normalized
before all this shit,
the
wasn't
shit
it?
Out of...
Oh, yeah, and The Deuce. I forgot he's in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be...
Why the fuck is he in The Deuce?
That's what I'm saying. And that's a show about porn, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, come on, dude. You're just telling on yourself like Louis style.
And he's playing twins, which is such a actorly indulgence.
Oh, man. When Army Hammer did it, though, people loved it.
Yeah.
In the Facebook.
Well, he was really good.
The social network.
But
as the Winklevi.
Right. I mean, that and Dennis Rodman's twins movie are... Wait, no, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, you Double Impact?
Yeah, is he a twin or?
No, I think.
I can't believe you didn't bring up
Jean-
Full House.
No, not, it's not. Double Impact was the one where Jean-Claude Van Damme had a twin, right?
Played a twin, yes, that's right.
He has a twin brother.
That's right.
The one, what is the Van Damme and Dennis Rodman film?
Double Play or something.
Rodman was called Double Team.
Don't call it a film.
Yo, I saw that shit in the theater with my dad because we were both like, yo, fucking Dennis Rodman and Van Damme were there because I think I was 13 or some shit. It says a CIA agent is interned for failing a mission to kill an international terrorist escaping from his island exile. He teams up with a flamboyant arms dealer and sets out to find the terrorist and rescue the agent's wife and son.
Anyway, Army Hammer and Van Damme are the only people who have pulled off the...
Playing twins.
Twin thing.
Great. What about
twins playing one person?
Ah, right.
Full House.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. That's the best.
And Dylan and Cole Sprouse in Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great movie.
Oh,
and
also,
then you watch it now and it does not hold up.
Yeah. Apologies when I said Dave Carter played for the Toronto Blue Jays, not Joe Carter.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, all my memory.
I knew that. I just didn't. I wanted you to learn the lesson for yourself.
Thank you. And that's why you're my father.
Yes.
You know, you let me burn up in the atmosphere.
That's right. Well, Sophia, it's been so fun having you back.
Thanks so much for having
on
me
on the podcast. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A. And you should look out for 420 Day Fiancé, which is a podcast Miles and I are swearing to you is real. And
we
is
are
gonna
cooking.
Come
it's
out.
Cooking. It's cooking.
Dude, it's cooking. And you can find me also on my podcast about love and sexuality around the world with Courtney Kosak called Private Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
So glad you asked. There is. It's a conversation. The tweet is by at lacing it up me. I need to show him he can't keep putting no effort in. I'm going distant. Him. Hey, me. Hey, how are you? How was work? How was your weekend? How was your brother's girlfriend's cousin's coworker? How was dinner with your mom? Does she know about me? Ha ha, JK. I don't care unless she does she?
Miles, where can people find you? And what's tweet you've
been
enjoying?
Come on, man. Y'all know Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, at 420 Day Fiance. Social accounts that are we have to keep private, okay? Because TLC does not want this show to come out. Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm just keeping it blunt, okay? they don't want the show to come out because our show is unadulterated truth about 90 Day Fiancé.
It's a threat.
We have a fucking algorithm we apply to the show to rate the performances of the people. This is something very new, okay?
No one's seen this shit before.
So we have to protect ourselves legally because we feel like there's going to be a lot of biters. Anyway, some tweets I like. First one is from Hannah Lynn at HanFranny. She's quote tweeting a Page Six article that says, Kim Kardashian wants to invite activist Greta Thunberg for dinner. And then she says, I actually would love for Greta to look Kim in the eye and say, your entire lifestyle is a burden on the planet. and then this one is from at Daemonic3, interviewer, can you explain this 5-year gap on your resume? Me, I was vibing. Interviewer, interviewer, really? Me, yeah, literally just vibing. Interviewer, under his breath, that's dope as hell.
Damn. I clapped for that one.
I love that one.
You're just vibing. Well, it's just the turn, you know. It's dope as hell. All right, welcome to ValSurf.
Couple tweets. I've been enjoying Wenzler Powers. Is that someone's real name? Tweeted, Wonka, congratulations, Charlie. My chocolate empire is yours. Charlie, that's wondrous. Wonka, now first thing, we'll be handling this PR crisis. Charlie, wait, what? Wonka, a lot of kids just died in your factory, Charlie, and there's a rumor that you apparently own slaves? and Tomb Slate, at please be G-N-E-I-S-S, nice, tweeted, Medium, if you're there, move the glass to say something. Ouija board, S-O-M-E-T. Wait, that's him. yeah, that's him. You can find me on Twitter, Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, was that going to be today?
Okay, I think we need some disco, okay? We're doing the Scat Brothers. Who are an L.A. disco group. I believe they formed in L.A. And they were kind of like the, like another masculine answer to the Village People. And this track is called Walk the Night. And it's fucking, this shit is trailer music. Look, if you have a very visual mind, close your eyes and just imagine any film happening to this song. It has a great thumping bass line. The song is so simple. It's got the four on the floor drum track. So this is the Scat Brothers, Walk the Night. If you actually watch Righteous Gemstones, it was the credit music to the episode, the Easter episode. You might recognize it from there. Otherwise, look, this is just some good old-fashioned four on the floor, get your foot pumping disco music.
All right.
Disco funk rock, I guess.
Well, we are going to ride out on that disco funk rock. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Okay?
Got mad and angry eyes. One look from him can paralyze. Resist at any time or place. Creeper, they'll slap right across your face.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.